on. Who's ever made up a song? I have. Right, some of you have. Don't you make songs up? No. Isn't that interesting? Okay, I should. We do, don't we? Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, whoever sings along to favourite songs when the radio's on? Yeah, okay. Oh, right. You know, especially love songs, I imagine. But anyway, I wouldn't sing. I sing to Jeff, this is what I sing on Christmas Day. It says on his Christmas present, "You're simply the best, better than all the rest." There's not a lot of competition, but okay, maybe I've decided I'm quite unusual. Hilary, do you ever make up songs?
Sorry?
Do you ever make up songs? Have you? Yes. Are you awake
yes.
over there, Hilary?
No, not really.
Do you think you better move over here?
No.
No, 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 you don't. Don't, if you fall asleep. Right, very interesting. Not many of you. So you sing in church, but not necessarily in your times with God at home. That's fascinating. All right. I knew I was odd. I'm going home, I'm even odder. You sing at home all the time, right? You're just your arm's not working. Okay. Good job, Jesus is well. Okay. Never mind. I'm not defensive. Amanda, what were you going to say?
Oh, just
knowing
you sing all the time.
Okay. There you go. Can be annoying, can't it? I hope you sing in tune. Doesn't really matter. But do you sing in the shower?
Never.
Never. Okay.
Never in the shower.
All right. I've said here, you will hopefully know the joy of a song or a poem catching hold of you. So some of you, I guess it might be poetry, but really catching hold of you. And it's as though you find in certain songs something that, something that expresses my heart and my soul. And by singing or listening to it, so you may be listening to something else, you sort of own it as your own, and it can even change from a mere song, and it's not necessarily a sacred song, it might be a secular song, to an act of worship. It's coming out of the very core of your being, what we call our soul, our heart. And it enables us to bow before the Creator. So Michelle said 7 years ago, I bowed the knee to Jesus, and that's to the Lordship of Jesus. And this song speaks about that. That the sheer amazement, the awe, that is what worship is, you know, the worship of Jesus responding, is a recognition that I'm just so small in every sense compared to God. And as I say, for me, this has been the song, O Holy Night, this year that's done it. Now, it's an ancient song, but I don't think we've ever sung it here. I think occasionally Helen played it. And we put just various stanzas in the chorus here. The chorus is, fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night divine. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new glorious morn. Fall on your knees. And they're old words, they're simple words, but they're really just incredible words. It doesn't end there, the song. It started as a poem, and often songs or poems that are set to music. And the words, the lyrics of this very old carol, O Holy Night, were written by a man called Placide Capot de Rochemaure. I'm not going to say that all again. He wrote them in 1847, and he was a wine merchant by trade. He actually was asked by the parish priest to write a poem for Christmas, and he obliged, and this is what he wrote. And he knew he needed music to go with it, because it was Christmas. And so he asked his friend, Adolphe Charles Adams, and he agreed. He was a very famous French musician. He wrote Giselle and other things like that from the French Conservatoire. And he wrote this, I think it's a beautiful melody, very simple melody to go with it. And later it was translated into many, many languages. It was translated into English by an American called John Sullivan Dwight. And it has a whole history. And it's so wonderful to know the story of people's songs. Now, they may be tragic songs, like Amy Winehouse singing, you know, They Made Me Go to Rehab. They tell people's stories. They can be tragic and painful. But this is a wonderful song about the night when Jesus was born. And praising and singing, they don't just direct us to God so that we fall on our knees in worship, but they can even bring, music can bring peace between warring peoples. Now, some of you will know a very well-known tradition about the song Silent Night, which sounded out in the trenches, apparently even louder than the gunshots, in 1914 on Christmas Day, just after World War I had started. And there was a brief spontaneous truce. I understand sometimes people even played football, but the soldiers on either side of the trenches began singing. So English people would have sung Silent Night, and the Germans sang Stille Nacht. I don't speak German, so I have no idea if that's true. But there's another story about this carol, O Holy Night, in an even earlier war, during the Franco-Prussian War, that conflict between the Second French Empire and the Kingdom of Prussia in 1870. So just at the time this church was being built and made into a living community of faith, this song was being sung there in that war. And a French soldier peering over the top of his trench singing Cantique de Noël, O Holy Night. And instead of firing and killing him, a German soldier appears over the top of the trench singing a song written by Martin Luther, a song which was very popular, From Heaven Above to Earth I Came. I'm not going to read you the German. The German soldier sang this song in response to the French carol song, and for 24 hours the soldiers on both sides held a truce to honour Christmas Day. Music brought them together because it touched their heart and soul, and they must have thought, what on earth are we doing? How is this moving forward humanity? What is happening here? Going back to the song, O Holy Night, and Placide Capot, who wrote it, he knew he wanted music to go with it. That wasn't his gift. And so his friend, Adolphe Charles Adams, set the poem to music, and he did it very, very beautiful. But it was a challenge for Adolphe Adams because he was a Jew. He was not a Christian. And the words of Capot's song celebrated Christmas, a day that he didn't observe as a Jew, and spoke of Jesus, who he didn't believe was God's son. And yet, by the very same spirit that inspired the words in A Christian, I believe, he wrote this melody. Despite the obstacle, the merging of the music with his friend, that's the important thing, the words of his poem, a beautiful song was written that is still sung. And the story really doesn't end there. It became very, very popular, and it was sung at many, many midnight masses. And in the beginning, the French Catholic Church thought it was a wonderful song. But Placide Capot fell out with the church because he was so radical in his views of social justice that he actually left the church, the Catholic Church. And they didn't like that, of course, the church. But when they discovered that the tune was written by a Jew, they also didn't like it. And they said that the song, O Holy Night, was inappropriate for church services, that there was a lack of musical taste, and it didn't reflect the spirit of religion. Thank God it didn't reflect the spirit of religion. But ordinary churchgoers did not stop singing O Holy Night. There were dissenters even then. And it was published in London and translated into many languages. But the story doesn't end there, because the person, John Sullivan Dwight, who translated it into English, and it was used in America, particularly during the Civil War, because he was an abolitionist looking for justice, was a Unitarian minister. He wasn't a Trinitarian Christian, but it was said he was so moved by the words and the images that he saw something of the Christ in the song and in the music. And he embraced the song because the words move on to say some other things. And he embraced the verse that begins, "Truly he taught us to love one another." If we could see the next slide. It might come on. Here are the words. And the amazing thing, well, I'll say that in a minute. Here come the words. "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains he shall break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. And so, as an abolitionist against slavery, he found in Jesus the values that would bring in the kingdom of God. I have to tell you that this song in its entirety is now sung by Hillsong congregations throughout the earth. Hillsong congregations, not just at Christmas. And I just wonder if they know that they sing a song written by a radical Roman Catholic who left the church to a tune composed by a Jew with words which were embraced by an abolitionist and sung during the American Civil War. Isn't it fascinating? What a song. What a story to learn. On Christmas Eve, here the story nearly ends, 1906, when Placide Capot and John Sullivan Dwight had grown old and Adolphe Adams had been dead for 50 years, a 33-year-old man called Reginald Fessenden, who was a university professor and chemist, read the nativity story from the Gospel of Luke into a microphone and then picked up his violin and played O Holy Night. It was the first song to be broadcast over the radio, as well as the first radio broadcast. And from its literal translation to its many versions, O Holy Night is still one of the most recorded and broadcast carols. I think it was inspired, don't you? And traditional carols like Silent Night and O Holy Night and their creation stories, because that's what this is, came from different and often conflicting stories. Jesus can unite and bring together people who are very, very different. And they touch the hearts of ordinary and famous people alike, like me, ordinary. And they teach us that Christmas is for both saints and sinners. But most of all, they show us that saints and sinners can write beloved, sacred carols that offer heavenly hope in this imperfect earthly world. There is hope. I hope you found that interesting. But more than that, I hope it's touched your heart. Today, we've spoken out together Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat, from Luke chapter 1. And we've spoken and sung... That is spoken and sung by many forms of Christian believers all over the world. And it's also known in traditions which are not Christian. Now, whether it was ecstatically uttered for the first time as Mary spoke it when the angel came to tell her she would conceive a child by the Holy Spirit, or it was an early form of composed liturgy, whatever it is, it's a mighty crying out of praise. And it's a mighty cry of prophecy about what Jesus Christ can and will accomplish. It's radically subversive about scattering the proud and lifting up the humble, and that will happen, I believe. It's about bringing down mighty kings and lifting up the humble. So, your mind, your heart, your soul was created to live in relationship with God, and from that relationship can spring even greater creativity. Works of art, music, poetry, many things. Sportsmanship, sportswomanship, all sorts of things. So here is the exhortation for us today as we sing and celebrate and feast. Do not get drunk with wine, which will only ruin you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing hymns and psalms to the Lord with praise in your heart. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, always give thanks for everything to God the Father. A truly Trinitarian verse about the work of the Spirit, Jesus and the Father together in our hearts. May it be so for God's glory. Whether our songs are as good or not as good, may they come from hearts full of praise. Let's just be still for a moment of silence. this Christmas Day.